The Off The Ball Podcast Network.
Now then, you're welcome back. So we're joined on the line by Mike Finnerty, sports editor with the Mayo News. You're there, Mike?
Evening, Joe.
Thanks for joining us. There are many guarantees in life, we were saying at the top of the show. One is that there will be something going on in Mayo GAA. I don't think this one has cropped up too often. What is actually going on here? Can we dial this right back? Because there's been a drip kind of aspect to this story, and I think people are finding it very hard to get their heads around exactly what's going on. So I know the Mayo County Board met last night in camera, and this is all to do with their dispute with an International Supporters Foundation, the Mayo GAA International Supporters Foundation. So the Mayo GAA International Supporters Foundation, when did they start? You know, they're led by Tim O'Leary, who's a UK-based market trader. How long have they been working with Mayo GAA? Has this been a long and fruitful relationship, or is it a new one?
Well, that's as good a place as any to start. As luck would have it, exactly 6 months this week since the Mayo GAA International Supporters Foundation was launched, and it was launched to a great fanfare with a gala fundraising banquet in New York on the weekend that Mayo played New York in the Connacht Championship. The event went off very successfully. After all the bills were paid, a total of €250,000 had been raised by the foundation for Mayo GAA, and everybody at that stage, I think, felt it was the beginning of what would be a long and fruitful relationship. But in recent times, I suppose about 2 months ago, give or take, the first signs that there were cracks and fractures beginning to come in the relationship between the county board and the foundation started to come to the surface when it became apparent that the foundation weren't happy that they had received the assurances or the detailed documents that they felt they needed to release that $250,000 that was raised last May to the county board. Now, specifically, you have to go back to correspondence that was sent from the foundation to the county board, to the county chairman back on the 9th of April, where the foundation outlined the conditions that would be attached to them releasing the funds across, or who would exactly be in charge of the funds raised in New York, and what were the conditions attached to them before they'd be released to the county board. And it turned out subsequently that the foundation are under the impression that they were going to be furnished with business plans in relation to a number of very specific projects. And once they had received those business plans and they were happy with the plan for the monies raised, then it would be released and everything would go from there. But that didn't happen and wasn't happening. The foundation started to send correspondence to the county board. Some of that started to come into the public domain, and the foundation began to ask, well, where are the plans? They started to raise questions around governance in general of how the Mayo County Board were doing their business. And ultimately, we find ourselves now in this position where the standoff that had developed between the foundation and the county board has now developed another layer. And we now have a situation where the county board felt compelled last night to meet in camera. It turned out this meeting that was so long awaited, where they would finally address the claims and the allegations made by the foundation about these governance issues. Well, that didn't happen last night, because a matter of hours before the meeting was due to start, legal correspondence arrived to the county board from Tim O'Leary and a New York-based businessman called Eugene Rooney. Now, he has come into the story in the last number of weeks, where he has made contact with the county board, and that correspondence has come into the public domain as well. And he is claiming that he is owed quite a bit of money by the county board from trips that the Mayo teams would have made to New York in recent years. Now, the county board have denied that they owe that money, but jumping forward to last night again, both Tim O'Leary and Eugene Rooney were in touch via a solicitor, I gather, and I suppose to boil it down, essentially they were letting the county board know, the county board officials know, that they would have to mind their P's and Q's last night once they began to discuss Tim O'Leary and Eugene Rooney's specific allegations or specific correspondence. And I think the county board felt last night they didn't have necessary time to study that legal correspondence, and they were advised, I think themselves, by the solicitor, that the best course of action was to not discuss anything last night in relation to the foundation. It wouldn't be appropriate given the legal shadow, I suppose, that was hanging over the meeting. So in light of that happening, it seems the county board meeting last night with the club delegates went down a completely different road. And that's where we now hear that there was this motion of confidence in the executive that was passed, and also a motion was proposed and passed by a show of hands that going forward, to use that great phrase, media would not be allowed in to attend future county board meetings in Mayo.
Yeah, well, I'll come back to the motion of confidence in a moment, because there's a few clubs today coming out and saying, well, that's not their understanding of what happened last night. But just to kind of tease out the current impasse for a second. So there's this €250,000, which was raised at this gala in New York. And that is very much earmarked, as we understand it, for an academy and a centre of excellence. But the supporters foundation, they don't want to release that money until there's business plans produced for both projects. And they said the cash will not be handed over until appropriate governance structures are put in place. So that's one aspect. What about this 150 grand as well? There's a talk of a €150,000 donation where in a letter, the same foundation have questioned whether the senior team benefited from the full value of that €150,000. So the foundation have already handed over 150 grand to the county board at some stage. Is that right?
Well, my understanding is that that was a personal donation made by Tim O'Leary before the foundation was actually set up and officially launched. And that came earlier on in the story. Right. But I suppose it's incredible to think at this stage, we're now 6 weeks since the initial county board meeting where these initial emails were brought into the public domain and brought into a county board meeting. And now 6 weeks later, we still haven't heard or seen discussed what exactly are the details surrounding that €150,000 donation. We still haven't obviously heard the detail around the business plans and the €250,000 that is being held in cold storage, as it were, in America.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't been drilled down, or the delegates haven't got a chance to ask some specific questions, or they haven't asked some specific questions about a number of issues. I mean, off the top of my head, Mayo GAA, as far as I'm aware, were the only county not to be represented at a special Congress last month in Cork to discuss the playing rule changes and the Tier 2 Championship. That issue was raised by the Mayo News with the county board last month, and they did issue a statement to say that nobody was in a position to travel and that the county finals were obviously taking place in Mayo as well. But that issue, as far as I'm aware, hasn't been discussed by club delegates to any great degree. And there are a lot of questions, I suppose, that still remain unasked and unanswered within the county board arena due to a number of meetings being postponed. And then obviously due to this legal correspondence as well coming into play once again last night.
Okay, so the 250 grand being held back, Tim O'Leary and the foundation, they want some kind of business plan before they hand over the 250 grand. So that's an understandable enough impasse. I can make sense of that. Of the 150 grand that that Tim O'Leary seems to have given over before the foundation was set up or donated, like, it's kind of notable and concerning, I suppose, that in a letter on behalf of the foundation, they're disputing receipts that were handed over to O'Leary to explain where that 150 grand went. And he's kind of saying, well, this doesn't quite add up, and certain receipts are continuing in a period after Mayo exited the championship. So that suggests, Mike, that the county board did try and hand over some receipts and did try and explain and show where the 150 grand was spent. And they haven't been able to certainly explain to the satisfaction of O'Leary that it was spent the way he thought it was going to be spent.
Yeah, that would be my understanding of it as well. There certainly were receipts, as far as I'm aware, furnished to Tim O'Leary and the foundation. They weren't happy with the detail. As you said, there seemed to be some elements of it that weren't complete, or some boxes that weren't ticked. I'm not entirely sure, because the frustrating thing here is, again, this was something that was due to be discussed last night. And from my information, the county board treasurer was more than willing and happy to go through it. That's certainly the impression that we were under. But firstly, the fact that the media were not permitted to attend, and then secondly, the fact that the meeting didn't even get to that point last night. It means that all these questions still remain remain unanswered. And I think it's fair to say I've spoken to a lot of club chairmen and delegates across the course of today. Nobody is happy with how things have transpired again after after last night's meeting, because there are so many issues that are still hanging there in thin air.
And what, and so then what about these emails? You know, there's an email where there's a Mayo GAA official calling Tim O'Leary a donkey.
Yeah, that's that was quite an incredible development, really, to the whole affair. It's there in black and white. It can't be disputed, and I don't think it is being disputed. Once again, it's one of those questions that you would like to think, in the absence of the media, a delegate would ask in a forum of a county board meeting. How did it come to this, where that sort of language would be used between a county board official and a person who was making a donation of the size that the foundation are making? But this all, I think, this all would confirm just how spectacular the breakdown in communications and the breakdown in relations have been over the last couple of months. And I think as well, you have to go back a little to that initial correspondence back in April, because there is certainly some confusion among members of the Mayo executive, I gather, about when exactly the executive were supposed to find out the terms and conditions attached to the funds that were being raised in New York. Certainly the foundation seemed to be very much under the impression that the monies raised at the function in New York would not be released until business plans were submitted for those specific projects you mentioned, while there are members of the executive who would feel any monies raised in the name of Mayo GAA anywhere across the county or across the world would obviously be entitled to be paid over to Mayo GAA immediately, because I know a lot of work went into establishing the Cordium We Owe Supporters Club in Mayo a number of years ago, and the whole purpose of that is to make sure there is one official fundraising arm that is responsible for all fundraising that is done in the name of Mayo GAA. Now, I was at the county board meeting, it's now 6 weeks ago, where this was initially discussed, and one of the delegates, the Castlebar Mitchells delegate, Michael Diskin, I felt he made some very good points that evening along the lines of why exactly did Mayo GAA not have a representative on the committee of the foundation? How did we come to agree to allow the Mayo GAA brand and crest be used to raise funds in our name that we now can't access? And did we get a look at the detailed plans or the constitution of the foundation before we went into partnership? Now, those questions, none of those questions were answered on the night, but they were asked, and we're still waiting for them to be answered, because I think a lot of the situation we find ourselves in right now, it can be traced right back to the very origins of this relationship that formed between the foundation and the board.
It all seems this relationship was just a bit too casual, doesn't it?
That certainly would seem to be the case right now. And yet, if it was as casual as it seems, you would imagine by now a resolution would have been found. You know, there have been so many opportunities over the last 6 weeks, 8 weeks, for people on both sides to try and find a compromise, to try and find a resolution. But yet we had a situation where 2-3 days in a row, perhaps, this story was on the front page of national newspapers. It's obviously been dominating the local headlines down here in Mayo as well. And it just seems to run and run and run. And at no stage has anybody taken control of it or tried to resolve it. That's how it looks right now. Anyway, as we work our way in towards what week 7, I think, of this saga next week, and that's only the 7 weeks, obviously, we know about.
And we're talking about serious sums of money here as well. And then, like, you go from just a mess to something a bit more ridiculous when at that underdogs game, they're playing shoe the donkey at halftime on the PA system, and this is not a joke.
No. As it happened, I was away on holidays last week, and I missed the Mayo underdogs match. And in a way, I was never as happy to be closer to West Africa than West Mayo at the time, because it was incredible. It was incredible, and I do think, to be fair to the PRO Paul Kinyan, he did come out and apologise. He took responsibility for a wrong decision and an error of judgment. There's no doubt about that. It was certainly ill-advised, to say the least. He did come out of the county board meeting, I know, and apologise. I know there was correspondence between he and Tim O'Leary as well in that regard. But it just, again, it meant that Mayo GA was back in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. And yeah. Yet again today, that would seem to be the case as you know, there's been yet another slip between cup and lip.
Well, just, yeah, so look, I guess the shoe the donkey thing is not the end of the world ultimately, but it's just in the midst of all this, it wasn't the most helpful thing, I would suspect. I'm sure Tim O'Leary didn't see the funny side initially, for sure. And then just the last point in this kind of muddled picture, as you said, the latest slip. So it seems that the Mayo County Board are claiming that there was a vote of confidence in the executive at this board meeting last night, and that it was, you know, resoundingly passed, and everybody has faith in the county board because Tim O'Leary and the foundation were kind of saying that questions need to be asked the executive. So the response seemed to be, well, let's have a vote of confidence. And everybody says, yeah, confidence motion passed. And now trickle effect today, different clubs have come out and said there was no vote last night in this proposal. That didn't actually happen.
Yes, I've been at a lot of county board meetings over the years, and at times there are motions or proposals made and seconded in the blink of an eye, and you really have to be on top of your game to keep up with it at times. And I just get the impression this happened last night a lot quicker than it should have, particularly when it was a motion of confidence or a proposal of confidence at such a critical juncture in this county board's life cycle. Now, obviously, it's probably worth repeating, there were no journalists in the room last night. They weren't permitted to attend. My colleague, Ger Flanagan, spent, I think, an hour and a half or so standing outside the door. And when he went in afterwards, he was given a statement that had been prepared by the county board. And that statement contained the information that there had been, as they called it, a vote of confidence passed in the executive and the board, and that it had been passed overwhelmingly, I think was the phrase used. And as soon as we posted that story on our website last night, almost immediately we began to be contacted by club delegates to say that that was not the case. There was no vote taken. And again, over the course of today, delving into it a little deeper, it would seem that what happened was, in the course of a conversation, it was suggested that there should be a show of confidence or a motion of confidence, I'm not sure the language used, in the executive to deal with this issue, or in some way to show support for them at this stage. And it was seconded very quickly. No delegates spoke at the time or in that moment or showed any opposition. And it was passed almost again without a second thought.
Right.
And then it found its way into a statement. I think in hindsight, a number of club delegates, when they came out of the room and they saw it in print, they obviously felt, well, hold on a second, that's not the way I saw it. But I think, to be fair, the club delegates will have to reflect as well on what they could and possibly should have done in that moment. You know, was there more they could have done just to voice their opposition, if they had any, or otherwise? And obviously the second motion that was proposed last night, and there was a show of hands for this one, was in relation to not allowing members of the media to attend county board meetings in the future. I gather, again, my sources would tell me there was quite a strong anti-media sentiment in the room last night among quite a number of delegates. I gather the Mayo News might have got some free advertising at one stage, may have been mentioned in a dispatch. And after a show of hands, I gather it was quite conclusive that quite a large number of delegates felt, for the betterment of Mayo GAA, it would be better if media were not allowed in future. And obviously that's very disappointing, to say the least, because obviously it's ironic, I suppose, here we are the day after the first meeting that takes place without media in the room, and we're discussing the pros and cons of a statement that was released by the county board in relation to a motion that wasn't voted on, that was passed, and now has, I think at last count, six, seven clubs have come out querying the statement in the first place. So I suppose it just goes to show, maybe if the media were in the room, maybe we mightn't be having this quite the same conversation. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing very clear at the moment, that's for sure. Mike Finnerty, Mayo News sports editor. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Joe. No problem.
That was an Off the Ball Podcast Network presentation.